Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is The Uncommon Good. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We're here in the Mercy Live Up Studio, live on a beautiful day in Des Moines, Iowa. Coming to you live, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, 1150 AM, and streaming live on our Iowa Catholic Radio app, which we want to give thanks to our sponsors, Blessman Ministries and People's Abstract Company, for bringing that to us as well. I also want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Mercy College of Health Sciences, someone who's very important to us. Now, why is that?
Because they help me feed my children, Bo. So I teach at Mercy College of Health Sciences. I'm professor of philosophy. Some great things going on, so thank you, Mercy College of Health Sciences.
That's right, yeah. Director of Campus Ministry here, also a professor. We do wonderful stuff and stuff that you can enjoy, too. We have on September 29th at 6 p.m., we have the Faith and Healing series that we'd love to have people on campus for. So we want to thank them for underwriting our show as well. So, Bud, what are we going to throw at people today so they can listen to?
So today we'll be talking about the tranquility of peace. We want to dive into the church's vision of peace and really hit this issue hard, look deeper into the peace that God wants to give us all.
I know a lot of people have an idea that when we talk about peace or that it's centrality, that maybe they don't think that there's a lot of that around. Maybe we're just a bunch of hippies playing ukuleles over in the East Village or something like this, or because they've been to the DMV or they've been to the Quick Trip and they say, where's all this peace you guys are talking about? So what are we going to say to them when we get back after the break?
Well, you and I have been accused of being a lot of things, but hippies is not one of them. I think you make a good point there about we live in a world where peace can be something that's difficult to sort of live into. Just driving to the studio today, you know, with the new radio show, I was worried about getting here. And so I'm driving, you know, 7 miles down, per hour down the road. And even like on the way to work, sometimes you can lose peace.
Yeah, Bud is a traffic jam waiting to happen. I mean, you got to watch out for silver Honda Civics. And especially if you see a gaggle of kids in the back because, no, I'm kidding. No, it's easy to lose your peace in this world. And so when we want to talk about the centrality of peace, I can understand where people think they need to call our bluff. But there's something about peace in the Catholic tradition, but especially when we talk about God himself, that if we're going to extrapolate, well, all these different things, what should we do in our families, what we should do in our communities, if we're going to talk about those things, and we plan to do that here on The Uncommon Good, well, we need to get at the beginning, at the foundation, and what we want to say that foundation is peace.
Yeah, we really want to put some flesh on this topic. So when you hear the word peace, it can sound ethereal and vague, but God's vision for our lives, and as you mentioned, I like that you brought in community for our communities, for society, is very concrete. It flows from the work of Christ, and it's what God wants to accomplish in and through us. So there's a lot of great stuff that we can dive into this afternoon.
Yeah, we want you to make sure to stick around with us, people, because we're not only going to talk about, we're not going to act like we're going to have the 12 steps to peace. We don't do a lot of 12 steps here. But what we want to talk about is how if we have a fundamental different understanding of peace, a peace that Christ can give and not a peace that the world can give, that it will change our understanding of the entire cosmos, but what we might be able to do in the here and now with the people that we love and the people that we interact with every day. So all of that's coming up next. Please stick around after a minute. We will be hearing more about this topic, but anything else you want to try to tease people with to get them back on the show here in a second?
Come back with us.
Bud is very polite, and that's why he's a peacemaker. When people talk about the Bonner family, they sometimes have questions, but I think Mar is Norwegian for peace, so you're basically an expert.
Okay, I'll do my best.
All right, we'll see you guys in a minute.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now, partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. You can find Cindy on the web at cindyschulte.com or by calling 515 215
866-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Are you ready? Christ Our Life Catholic Conference returns for the fourth time, September 24th and 25th. Share the excitement as we welcome a world-class array of speakers and musicians. Celebrate Mass and join together to praise God in Wells Fargo Arena. 10,000 are expected. Be one of them and bring your family and friends. Go to ChristOurLifeIowa.com for tickets and information. Let's believe, live, and celebrate our faith.
Thank you, Ashworth Vision Clinic, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365 on Iowa Catholic Radio. Ashworth Vision Clinic online at ashworthvision.com. Ashworth Vision Clinic, 515-440-4610.
Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr.
Here at the Mercy Live Up Studio, coming at you live on 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, 1150 AM, and streaming to you live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Bud, today we want to talk about the centrality of peace in the Catholic teaching tradition. When we talk about peace, there's all sorts of misconceptions. I think there's no doubt about that. It might be counterintuitive when we talk about the Catholic understanding of peace in the social tradition. When we talk about peace, what do you think most people, the man on the street, the woman on the street, would think when we talk about peace?
Yeah, if you were to pull kind of a Jay Leno and you're walking down the street and you're just stopping people and you'd ask them, what is peace? I feel like in our conversations with our students and things, a common response is, peace is the absence of violence or the absence of struggle. So it's almost, strangely enough, seen as like a contrast. Like, we think about peace by thinking about what it is not.
Right. So peace ends up strangely being like a negative. So peace is just simply the absence of something else. And it's funny that if we're going to call Jesus Christ the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, if we're going to say that we are peacemakers, mm-hmm. blessed are the peacemakers, it seems awfully strange to base this entire faith on a negative.
Yeah, I think it's very much rooted in a certain common understanding that's common in the modern world. Not to get too far afield, but it's really traced back to a thinker by the name of Thomas Hobbes.
Not the tiger.
Not the comic book character, but Thomas Hobbes, H-O-B-B-E-S. And he said that life, or the world, is fundamentally the war of all against all.
Sounds like a family member I know.
And so this is his understanding of the world, and we might laugh at that, but if you think about it, like some of the common parlance that we use, like it's a dog-eat-dog world, or he who dies with the most toys wins, that's a kind of Hobbesian way of thinking about the world, that human beings are caught up in this inevitable struggle, and so peace is restoring order through a kind of pushing back against that struggle.
Right, and I think that's the very sinister part of all of this, is peace then becomes something we grasp or even manufacture. And why this runs so contrary to the Catholic understanding of peace is Jesus Christ himself says he gives peace, a peace that the world can't give. So the peace we get, we receive. But under the Hobbesian understanding, this modern understanding that peace is just the absence of war and strife, peace is a manufactured product. It's something you export. It's something you need to spend a lot of resources on in order to have. But that just flies contrary to what we want to say as a people who believe in the God of peace.
Yeah, the Bible really exposes this lie that the world is the war of all against all. And for myself, when I first started to see Scripture and to really eat it up and to understand, I think, what's going on there, it's when I began to see Scripture as a coherent whole, as like one story or narrative. It's got a lot of complex parts. There's books that can be difficult to understand, but there's kind of this structure that you see: creation, fall, redemption. So when you get to the beginning of the Bible, what you see is that in the beginning, God created things good with this kind of order or peace that characterized all of creation.
So peace isn't something that we manufacture or have sometimes. It's this original thing emanating from God. God is at peace in himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and their peace pervades everything else. We fall away from that peace, but when it essentially, that is what we're returning to. So peace is not a manufacture, it's a return. And in the Catholic social tradition, we have a definition of this. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is the tranquility of order.
Yeah, and the people of God have been preaching this for thousands of years. So that first part of the Bible, the end, the beginning, you were telling me recently, this isn't a pamphlet that you hand out that explains, you know, scientifically how things fit together or whatnot. It's about God's ordering of creation. And what's interesting is that that first part of the Bible, that would have sounded as strange to the first people who read it as it does to many ears today. Because in that part of the world at that time, there were all sorts of mythologies that painted a vastly different picture about creation.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you read some of the creation myths, you would think it was like Norwegian death metal bands coming up with the beginning of the world. It's like, we killed a dragon and we used the teeth to make people and the blood made the seas and we took their spleen and made the heavens. And you're like, settle down, barbarians. But that's what they thought. They thought there was an original violence that the gods themselves initiated. But here are these strange people called by this one God, not many gods at war with each other, but this one God. And what does his creation narrative say? In an ordered manner, he makes the world. And then the kicker is, on the seventh, he doesn't like have a big victory celebration for defeating a chaos monster. He rests. He's at peace. And it's one of those deals where we have a strange notion. We think like, well, what is rest? Rest is doing nothing. But no, actually, rest is perfect activity. And you think about this in your life. When you have really good rest is when you do a perfect, you sleep well, you slept, you did a great job, you're rested. God is perpetually at rest, perpetually perfect activity. And that perfect activity is the tranquility of order, peace.
So this ties into what we understand about sin, where sin itself has a very personal dimension. It's a disruption of harmony on a personal level, my personal relationships, but it also has a very social dimension, so that you see when Adam and Eve follow their own will and turn away from God's peace, you see strife enter the world, a real division among peoples. So the story of salvation, God's plan of salvation that God is working out in the world, it's really a restoration of that unity, that harmony that human beings knew and experienced in the beginning.
And so everything about the story of Christ saving us, of God's plan of how he's going to save his people, is a plan about restoring, recapitulating, and even maybe re-triumphing this original peace. And this goes throughout the story of the people of Israel, and it goes into the very life of Jesus Christ himself, not only his mission where he physically heals people, but also his very death on the cross and resurrection, his sending forth of the church. And but I think in a very important way, something that we as Catholics get every day is the heavenly peace given to us in the Mass.
Yeah, so I think sometimes as Catholics, like the gift of God are so close to our noses that we can look past them. And I really think this is the case when we talk about peace. And so the peace that God brings, the peace that surpasses all understanding, it was really affected by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That's the perfect sacrifice, and it brings to human beings peace or reconciliation with God. For Catholics, we experience this in a really visceral, tangible way at the Mass, where, you know, the priest celebrates the Eucharist or the Thanksgiving meal, commemorating Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and then towards the end of the Mass, you have the passing of the peace, where the peace at the altar, in a sense, passes down to the people through the congregation.
Right, and this is another thing where you talk about Catholics missing things right in front of their noses. I know sometimes when it becomes time to pass the peace, you feel like you're like shaking someone's hand, like you just made a deal about buying a car or something like this. Monks, I think, and of course it makes sense, they have a very tranquil, ordered life. They might demonstrate this a bit better. So I'm an oblate down at Clear Creek, the monks, the Benedictine monks down in Oklahoma, and when they pass the peace, the priest turns from the altar, and then they're very French. They, you know, kiss each other on both sides of the cheek, and he gives this to the deacon. The deacon then does this to two other people, and then they go down in a row, and it's, you can physically see the peace spreading throughout the entire congregation. And it's just like in the Easter candle where they take the one fire and then we light all of the different candles, if you've ever been to the Easter Mass at night. Well, they do this with the peace. They literally pass the peace. The peace is like a fire of God's love starting to light up throughout the world. And the Mass is the point in which this perpetual peace of God in heaven meets earth and spreads throughout the people of God's church.
And so the drama of human life, or sort of the paradoxical character of how we live our lives, is that even though that peace is so immediate and available to us, so often we choose a different path. We follow sort of the fall, the stumbling of our original parents. And you were making this point recently. There's like the world tries to present sin as sort of glamorous, but there's something really petty and empty about sin.
Well, if you think about what the devil does himself, and we'll talk about this in a second, the devil only has one goal left. He knows he can't win. Again, I know we like think that sometimes we listen to Norwegian death metal bands and think they have the in on heaven. No, friends. They have a very messed up understanding of what the devil's like. The devil himself knows he's lost because he's an angel and he can't have imperfect knowledge. He knows he's lost. What he knows is left to him is to pettily drag us down with him. And so the reason that we get, I think, susceptible to the discord that the devil's trying to sow in our lives is we fall back into this Hobbesian modern notion that peace is the absence of war. And so we try to manufacture peace instead of receiving it from God. And I think one way that you see that is who we have the idea of what the paramount example of a peacemaker would be.
Yeah, you were joking during the first segment about not being a hippie, and I don't want to turn this first episode into a pick on hippies day. That's later down the road.
That's right. That's for next month. Yeah.
But I, you know, in thinking about how the world thinks about peace, I think sometimes, like if I said, imagine a peace activist in your mind, what you might have in mind is sort of like the hippie protester who, I don't know, is on the side of the street protesting war. And there might be a time to speak out against a particular issue or whatnot. But when we think about living out the peace of Christ, the peace that God gives us, I think sometimes it can be through very simple gestures. So the individual that immediately pops into my mind is someone like Jean Vanier, V-A-N-I-E-R. I spell out his name because he's French and
yeah,
I don't know, I'm probably saying that wrong. But Jean Vanier was a brilliant scholar who climbed sort of to the top of the mountain of academia and then has spent, he turned away from that path and he spent the rest of his life living alongside those who have mental, physical disabilities. And just through a kind of quiet life out of the limelight, he's really cultivated sort of, I don't know, a garden of peace where he's built peace in the world around him.
His communities are called the L'Arche communities, L'ARCHE. It means the ark in French, and we have L'Arche communities all throughout the United States, Canada, and France. But I think why what you're saying hits so close to home is we get this idea that we can't do anything, right? Like to be a peace activist means you got to learn how to make rockin' signs and you got to go drive to DC. How can I do this in Des Moines, Iowa, or wherever I'm at? And what Vanier pointed out was there's people here right now who need that tranquility of order. And friends, let me point out, you don't even need to necessarily found a new house, a new L'Arche community. Yeah. In our own homes, if we do not provide that tranquility of order for our children, for our spouses, for brothers and sisters, for all of those people, we can't expect a city or a state or a nation to have this peace either. We have to be peacemakers at home before anything else.
On the other hand, I mean, sort of on the flip side, I would say, and looking at it from another angle, we can point to individuals like Jean Vanier or a very timely figure, you know, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and their peaceful work serving the least of these. You've pointed out to me that there's also peace can manifest itself in different ways. So in the Christian tradition, we also have, I would say, like martial images, someone like Saint Michael the Archangel, where they bring about peace through combating the devil.
Well, and so I think it's very interesting to think about the competition between Satan and Saint Michael. I mean, we think of Saint Michael as like really awesome, right? He's in every picture. He has lances and swords and he's stomping on the devil's head. He sounds like a real patron saint of Oklahomans, speaking as an Oklahoman. However, Satan was actually the head honcho. He was the big shot. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about the martial rank of the angels, Saint Michael did not start out the whole shebang as at the top of the hierarchy. Satan did, but because of his pride, because he refused to serve non servium, as Milton puts it, that he would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven, all of this breaks down, and Saint Michael steps up and says with pure humility, who is like God, admits in his battle cry that he is not like God, and through his humility becomes a peacemaker, boots the demons out of heaven so that heaven remains, like we said, the center point of all peace.
Through humility, St. Michael's exalted, and because precisely he points to the reign and the glory of God. Another interesting individual to look at to bring things sort of down to earth, so to speak, is someone like St. Joan of Arc.
And St. Joan of Arc, again, a peasant girl from basically nowhere France. I mean, a very small village that very few people know of. Illiterate, 17, maybe 18 at most, we're not dead sure, but she's a nobody. Charles VII, who was the king of the French at this time, they were, frankly, getting their keisters kicked all over France by the English. It looked like they had no hope. But here this peasant village girl comes, and because she's willing to follow the King of Heaven, she keeps telling Charles VII, you are the viceroy of the King of Heaven, but the King of Heaven is Jesus Christ who reigns supreme. And because she's willing to follow him without brandishing a sword, she literally leads the French to victory and freedom during the midst of the plague, of the Hundred Years' War, and all this other degradation.
God uses the weak things of this world to shame the wise, and I love that phrase, not brandishing a sword. You know, to me, St. Joan of Arc really lived out the Old Testament truth. Don't trust in chariots, don't trust in horses. God will provide the victory, and by submitting herself to God's will, help to bring about the tranquility of peace that's at the center of the church's vision for our homes, our cities, the world.
And so I think for us, St. Michael and St. Joan of Arc are going to play a very central role as patrons of this show. And also, I think we have a little treat for you. We'll learn a little bit more about St. Joan when we come back from this break. So come back in a minute, and I think you'll be in for a treat. This is The Uncommon Good.
Thank you to Tamia & Sons for your support of Dowling Catholic Football. Tamia & Sons is an Italian family restaurant with old country, authentic Italian food. Enjoy the local atmosphere where you may even spot a priest. Take advantage of Tamia & Sons' bocce ball court with the kids while enjoying their homemade bread, fried peppers, and real Italian desserts and more. Tamia & Sons is located on Southeast 1st Street, just south of downtown, tamiaandsons.net.
Announcing the new Iowa Catholic Radio app. Easy to download onto your smartphone or tablet, and it's free. Now you can listen anywhere, anytime, right from your smartphone. Start your day, end your day, or everything in between by listening to talk radio that will help you grow in the Lord. Help evangelize by telling your friends about the new Iowa Catholic Radio app. Thank you to our sponsors, Blessman Ministries and People's Abstract Company. Working with Jesus to change lives and making it even easier to listen.
Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr.
We are here at the Mercy Live Up studio. And Bud, I think we have a special treat for everyone today.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
And now, great moments in church history. The year 1429. The place, the besieged city of Orléans. The stakes were high, but the chips were down.
Things aren't looking up here for Charles VII and his men, Brent. They're getting slaughtered out there.
The English had dominated the French most of the afternoon, but late in the third quarter of the fight, the tables suddenly turned.
Hold the phone, Keith. You don't see this every day, but Joan of Arc, a walk-on from a Division II-sized hamlet, has taken the field. Wow, she was heavily under-recruited.
Without brandishing a sword on this frigid afternoon, Joan left her mark on the gridiron that would echo throughout the centuries of church lore.
British defenders are closing in, Joan leading the French response. They've taken Fort Loup. They've taken Fort Saint-Jean-le-Blanc. They've taken the English stronghold Le Tour. The English are retreating. The French win! The French win!
From that day forward, Joan would be the sworn enemy of every fan of the English. But in the church, she would live as Saint Joan of Arc, patroness of France. This has been Great Moments in Church History.
Well, Bud, that archival footage, audio, excuse me, from the 15th century, that's pretty high quality stuff.
No, that really put me in the mood for some football with the, there's a little bite in the air, not much of a bite, little bite. And so there's really a tradition of radio announcing, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, those guys sounded really enthusiastic and, to be honest, quite handsome, if I can say so myself.
Faces made for television.
Hey-oh. Well, hey, we want to wrap up today by pointing out something very important, and that is this talk about peace, this talk about social teaching. It's not up in the sky. It's not too far away. It's something that we can do daily in our lives, and it starts right here, brothers and sisters. Before it makes it to nations and the world, it has to start in our cities, in our families, and in our homes.
Yeah, you mentioned the point this today, Bo, about St. Joan of Arc being illiterate, and I think that just triggered for me the idea that the key here is not necessarily the gifts that you bring to the table, but that God's calling you, that God's calling you to the vocation and the words of our Lord to be a peacemaker. He's certainly going to use the talents and the gifts that you bring, but the key is that call.
So if we respond with the peace that God has given to us at the beginning of time, if we keep returning to that, we don't have to struggle too much about what we need to do in order to be peacemakers, but to pay attention to those opportunities day in and day out.
Yeah, it starts with knowing and loving God. We talked briefly about the Mass and being rooted in that life of grace. You know, there's so many gifts, so many graces, especially starting with the sacraments, knowing the peace of Christ that we receive at the altar through Holy Communion each Sunday.
Well, we want to thank everybody who stayed and listened with us. We want to thank donors who make this show possible, especially our underwriters. And we want to thank everyone in the studio here at Iowa Catholic Radio. And we want to thank everybody who invited us to be a part of this. We are truly grateful for getting to come live to you guys like we are now.
Don't tune out now. The rosary is coming up, the Holy Rosary, every day, 9:30 in the morning, 9:30 at night. So you can start literally your life of prayer right after the show ends.
What a good way to install peace in your life at the beginning of your day and at the end of your day. So again, thank everybody. We will be here, like we said, every Wednesday, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. We look forward to seeing you all again on the radio waves. And before we leave, we just want to offer you and hope that the peace of Christ pervades every aspect of your life, and that Jesus Christ, the King of the entire universe, may reign in our hearts, in our cities, in our nation, and in the entire world. For Bud Marr, this is Bo Bonner. This has been The Uncommon Good. Thank you, and God bless.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.